flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Nat.
And I'm Matt.
And we are here with a very special episode. It's our end of the year in review wrap-up episode.
Everything Woo-hoo! 2023 had to offer and then some.
Yeah. 2023 was a wild year.
I get so confused with half of the sets that came out, and I keep thinking, oh, this can't... No, that was 2022. Well, what about... Now it's 2021. So what did happen in 2023? And it was a lot.
It was a lot. Today, I listened to the Command Cast year wrap-up podcast episode. And if you haven't listened to that, it's a good one. It's long, though. It's like 3 hours long. But, you know, if you want like the stats, like compared over the years, they did a little segment on that. And they talked about all the controversies of the year, which is not something we're going into, but
only lukewarm takes here.
Yeah. We'll leave that to the social media. However, we're going to talk about some of our favorite cards, sets, all of that. We're going to focus on mostly the good stuff of the year because we want to leave you with that feel good for the end of the year.
And also with excitement for what's to come in the new year.
Yeah. You know, that excitement around the holidays where you're all gathering around, sharing memories. That's what this is going to be. So we are going to start with some questions. Matt hasn't heard these questions. Matt also froze. He's so terrified of answering these.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been told to not prepare for this. I am unaware of anything going in, and I intentionally did not dig into 2023 since our last episode, dig up any old cards. I think I've forgotten as much about Magic this year as possible, just to make sure anything I say is off the top of my head. None of it is scripted, like everything else I do.
We did go through our favorite cards in each color for the year. However, for that, we did leave out Universes Beyond. And so we stuck with just like the main sets. However, for these questions, there's no limitations. It could be whatever. Okay, so first let's start. What was your favorite set from the year?
Oh, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, okay.
And it came out of nowhere for me because I would originally have thought like something tied to the war or maybe Wilds of Eldraine. And I was really psyched for Wilds of Eldraine. I got more adventure spells. But then the Doctor Who Commander decks came out and I picked those up. And not only did I like the way that they designed and released them, how if you bought all four decks, you had all of the cards. And if you wanted fancy, then you could go to the collector. So you weren't missing out. They were just really well done. They were fun. And they got me back into Doctor Who. And I have been just binging episodes since, and it's just bringing me joy.
I will give it that. That definitely wasn't one of my top sets. However, it did make me want to start watching Doctor Who. And so if y'all have been following me on Twitter, you've seen some of the updates. Like as I've been watching episodes, I am
incorrectly choosing which ones to watch before bedtime.
Yes. However, I stopped myself the other day because the episode looked like a spooky episode. And so I was like, we are not going to watch this right now. We are going to wait.
Are you jumping around or are you going through a doctor?
So I watched all of the Ninth Doctor. I watched a couple of the Tenth Doctor. This is going to be a real hot take. I don't love David Tennant. I skipped most of his stuff. However, my husband has seen Doctor Who. So if there's any episodes that I need like context, he made me watch those ones. So like I saw Blink. I saw Silence in the Library. Mm-hmm. I saw, you know, some of those that apply to like future episodes. You kind of need to know the context. So I actually skipped to the 11th Doctor, to Matt Smith. And I don't even know what season I'm on. I'm on six. Yeah, I'm on season six. I'm like halfway, if not a little bit more through season six. So that's been kind of fun, you know, seeing the episodes and then being like, oh, that's a card. Oh, that's a card. Oh, that's a card. The decks weren't my favorite, though. I'm not going to lie.
They're dense.
The cards are cool. I like the cards like individually, and I totally get the flavor, but they put a lot in.
The one with, I believe it's 9 and 10, the timey-wimey deck, that is a lot to keep track of. It's fun, but I think the best way to play these is similar to the Warhammer decks and play them together, because they're equally matched. If you're a fan, you're going to get lots of little fun moments out of it. Mm-hmm. And they even added special plane chase that fit with the series.
That was cool. I did like the addition of plane chase, and some of the cards in the decks helped with kind of the plane chase aspect. So, you know, that was kind of cool. And I do like how you can interchange the companions with the doctors. Mm-hmm. And
they were very versatile. So if you were just a Doctor Who fan and a passing Magic person, you pick these up, you could get a lot of replay value out of them. You could trade out some of the commanders. You can trade out the companions with the doctors. There's a lot going on there.
And the timing was really cool because they were able to add the newest 14th and 15th doctors to a secret lair.
They're not shipped till like April though.
Yeah, but you know, everybody's watching the season right now. They know what the cards are, so it's kind of cool. Like you have that, you know,
it's on top of the times.
Yeah. So, you know, rather than having to like wait, you know, for a whole new set, it was like, oh, here's a little special secret lair, which I'm sure they worked with BBC to get that info ahead of time. So that was cool. My favorite set from the year, hands down, was Lord of the Rings.
That was another good one. I was going through the books for the first time when that right before that came out, so it was neat to really see the expanded characters for me.
If we hadn't left Universes Beyond out of our, you know, color picks for cards, a lot of them would have been Lord of the Rings cards. There were just some insane staples that came in that set. I ended up getting a lot of that set because I saw the potential for deck staples in those sets, and I like to bulk. I like bulk. So, you know,
there's good bulk in that set.
There's really good bulk in that.
I bought
bulk in that set.
Two boxes of it, and I've been super happy. I think I built a deck out of a box just for the heck of it.
Yeah, I did build one deck out of that one. I built a Smeagol deck, and I used Nazgul, and the whole thing is like the ring tempting and stealing people's lands. So that was kind of fun, and I was able to add a lot of the Amass cards to an Oathbreaker deck with Angrath. We got to see that mechanic come back.
I was really happy to see Amass come back in this because that was so much fun in War of the Spark.
Yeah. That set to me is just like, it was just so good. And like, the hype was so like, you know, they talked about this on the Command Cast, like with the One Ring, like people were just like searching for it. Like people were getting it. And so it was kind of like a little fun Willy Wonka golden ticket, as they compared it to, you know, where everyone was searching for that golden ticket.
Everyone claiming, hey, I found it. We even had, I think, one or two that were possible fakes. It was very Wonka.
Yeah, there were a couple fakes.
But it was still
fun. And then finally, it was just, it was just some random person, you know, that was at their LGS and sold it to Post Malone. So that was,
it was a good story.
Yeah, it was a feel good story. It was very wholesome. Let's switch here.
Okay.
What was your least favorite set from the year?
So that's a tough one. I got to think back to make sure I get all the sets from 2023 and don't accidentally say a set from 2022. So we basically had the Phyrexian War and then the aftermath. So we had All Will Be One, March of the Machines, Aftermath, Wilds of Eldraine, and Lost Caverns of Ixalan. And then between those, we had Lord of the Rings, Doctor Who. Is there anything else?
Commander Masters. Dominaria Remastered came out the very, very beginning of the year.
Oh, that was for this year? I think the one I liked least was Commander Masters.
Okay.
And I think part of it was the price point. It was just, I couldn't justify it to myself. I bought the Commander Guff deck. I picked that one up after your recommendation and I loved it. And also because you have the best Commander Guff cosplay around. But it was just a fun deck. And I bought a handful of packs here and there whenever my LGS had a sale or I had some store credit. And I didn't really find a whole lot of value from it. It was definitely I'm going to buy singles of maybe the profile cards. Any of the staples in it, I either already had or wasn't really planning on using. But on the whole, that one, it didn't spark joy in me, I feel. Okay. I would have loved to have checked out the other commander decks, but when they were going for like 100 a piece, it just, no thanks. Most people would maybe think, oh, Aftermath. But honestly, my only beef with Aftermath was that it was small, like Fallen Empires. But some of the cards in there were actually kind of fun.
I think that Aftermath is kind of underrated. Like people keep saying like that was like the worst set because it was small. But there's some good cards in that set.
Look at how pricey that Nissa is, the D-Sparked one. And it's going up. There was some fun in it. And it teased a lot of what was to come.
Yeah.
Especially with Ixalan, I think.
Yeah. I think there were definitely pros and cons to all the sets for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think Commander Masters was my least favorite, only because I really liked the Commander decks. Mm-hmm. Like, if I just got like a set box, I don't know if it would be my favorite, because again, it was pricey. Mm-hmm. But the Commander decks were like some of the most fun pre-cons I've played this year.
I really wanted to try the Enchantress one. Was it Narsi?
It's Anakthea is the face commander. I took that apart and made Narsi.
So I one of the packs I got a Narsi, and I was like, oh, this one, like, this looks fun.
Yeah, I'll send you my list. It's pretty fun. It's,
ooh, I want to check it out.
It's real strong. I think overall, like looking at the set as a whole, my least favorite was probably March of the Machines. I feel like I'm real big on lore and story. Mm-hmm. Like I love reading the stories when they come out. Mm-hmm. I feel like March of the Machine was supposed to be like this big, like story heavy set. And they just left so much out. So many things happened, quote unquote, off screen for me that like, I was like, okay, apparently that happened. You know, they kept being like, oh, well, we're going to touch on this in Aftermath and we're going to touch on it in future sets. Mm-hmm. The problem is we have so many sets that come out that I lost everything that happened.
There was a lot that happened to critical characters. I mean, one of my favorites. Still don't know what happened, how it happened, what happened afterwards. Kind of want to know.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth if I had to, like, choosing between All Will Be One and March of the Machines. And it's like, I see bits of both I like. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on the loss of lore from March of the Machine. Also, the fact that their logo is very much like the NCAA Final Four. Font. I cannot unsee that still. I did like the partnered commanders they made, or the team up commanders, not partnered. I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to salvage the story.
Yeah. And I have mixed feelings on that because I think because of that being such a big feature of that set, that was one of my least favorite sets to draft. Mm-hmm. I had so much fun drafting All Will Be One. Mm-hmm. I loved drafting that set. And then to go to a set that like I absolutely like, I drafted a couple times and I was like, I can't do this.
All Will Be One was fun in draft. And you know me, I'm not a drafter or a limited player.
Yeah.
But All Will Be One was fun for that. There was a lot of variety. March of Machines had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Because they tried new mechanics with battles, which I still think they should have had those in Lord of the Rings. I'm worried it's something we're never going to see again, or we won't see for a while.
I've seen like one person play a battle.
There's one, like I like the one that flips into a Teferi. just because I like Teferi. Mm-hmm. And it also makes knights. But yeah, I can't remember the last time I played someone who threw a battle on the field.
Well, and from like a commander aspect, I feel like it's one of those things that like everybody needs to be playing battles, or else mm-hmm. it's just like weird to have like one person throwing down a battle. And like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like plane chase. Like you all have to be on the same page that you're playing plane chase.
I bought a full set of battles to try and do similar to plane chase. I just haven't had time to really do it. Yawgoth and I were fiddling with it.
That would be really cool to do like almost a plane chase format, but using mm-hmm. battles.
So we were doing it where you kind of similar plane chase, you find a trigger to where you could flip it mm-hmm. and whoever flips it puts it on someone. So try to avoid the cost and the color identity of it.
Okay.
And try to earn it. And the other idea we were looking at was the map variant of plane chase where you have, I think it's 5 plane chase cards on the field and you kind of travel across yeah. them. Yeah, we were looking at how could we map these out? And we were sitting at breakfast at Command Fest in a hotel lobby on napkins, drawing out the world tree as if it were battles going out, kind of to mimic how Phyrexia went out that way. Mm. Looking at because it was mostly uncommons, rares, and then mythics. So it started uncommons hitting rares. Rares were where it branched out, mythics being the end. So you had to work your way through and had control as if you were plane chasing or jumping through the portals to chase the Phyrexians.
Okay, I like this and I want it to happen. So I think we should do like a battle cube.
Okay, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's add it to the list for the year.
Yes, 2024, we're gonna make a battle cube. Okay, so next, we talked a little bit about pre-cons. What was your favorite pre-con from the year?
Ooh, there were a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking
around. March of the Machine alone had 5 pre-cons.
I liked those ones. I think those went well together. That those were where Plane Chase came back. I put all of those in a long sleeve box to mm-hmm. just keep them together. The Knights one was fun. The Gremlin one was fun. The Lord of the Rings had some good ones. Like you said, some of the ones from Commander Masters were enjoyable. There were a lot this year.
If you're like going to an event and you need to bring a pre-con with you, what do you grab?
The one I've been throwing in my quiver since it came out was the Wilds of Eldraine Barry pre-con.
Oh,
I think yeah. I've played that the most. That one made an easy fix. I kept it stock because it had a lot of everything. It yeah. got me out of my comfort zone with Dimir and some of the mill and sacrifice, but then I had the comfort zone of my tokens and kind of creating things. It was fun and it worked really well, I thought. The Ixalan ones, I think, were my next favorite mm-hmm. batch if I'm looking at more in-world magic sets. I got to play the dinosaur one on a stream where we did all mm-hmm. free cons, and it was the one I was honestly least excited to play, but then I started playing it and I was like, oh, yep. this is wild.
Yeah, that deck is like the pre-con I am keeping as a pre-con mm-hmm. because I was like, I don't want to build a dinosaur deck. I'm not mm-hmm. interested. Like, I wasn't even interested in the pre-con like you. And then I played it and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this deck is yeah. fun. I'm going to keep this as my pre-con, you know, when
it's
I need to
so
get through an event
and silly. Have a pre-con.
Yeah.
And it holds up. The one I was most excited for in that set, honestly, was the vampire one, because flipping through it, they brought back a lot of really great vampire cards in Orzhov for that deck. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the dinosaur one threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
How about you?
So I'm tied between 2. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Commodore Guff. Like, mm-hmm. I preached that deck so hard because Super Friends, like, is hard to build. And mm-hmm. the fact that they did, like, a decent Super Friends pre-con, like,
with some new cards for the format.
I had so much fun playing that deck. I ended up upgrading it a little bit by adding in more Planeswalkers mm-hmm. just to make it more Super Friends. But yeah, loved that deck so much. So much fun. The other one I really enjoyed playing was Lord of the Rings one. It was the mm-hmm. Sauron one, but I played Saruman as the commander. Mm-hmm. This was like my deck when I went to Command Fest Orlando. Mm-hmm. You know, when they put me in creator clashes and I'd be like, all right, I'm just going to play this pre-con. Mm-hmm. And I think I won every single game I played with that pre-con. Like,
they've been
it was
doing
so good.
Great with them in the design. I have which one? I have the food one, the Frodo and Sam. Mm-hmm. And it goes off. They did a good, they did a good job designing the precons this year. I'm hoping that the strength kind of keeps going. We don't need another like set of five though.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I think four is great because four, like, you have a full pod. So going off that, did you have a precon that you just didn't like, you just didn't vibe with?
I'd have to say it was, let me look to see what it was. Honestly, Brimass, for reasons. Honestly, though, I like the idea of that deck, but I feel it tried to do too much. It tried to be a token deck. It tried to be a Phyrexian deck, and it just needs a little bit of tweaking, I think, to focus on one aspect of it. And that was the one. It wasn't that I was so much turned off from playing it. I was underwhelmed. But you know me, I'm also biased because of my Brimass deck. Second to that, I think, was the Convoke deck from from Arts and Machines. I've played mine like two or three times because I just randomly grab it. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yep. That's my least favorite. I was really actually really excited about that. I thought the idea of Convoke was like, oh, this is going to be really cool. But yeah, I played it a couple times and it just like, underwhelming. I was like, this isn't it.
So. There's some fun cards in it that I'd use in other decks. The only reason I kept it together was to keep the set for a, hey, we've got four people. You want to do a pre-con pod? Everyone roll, and then we'll go high to low, pick which one you want.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to see how often that one ends up being not picked. One of these days, though, I am going to modify that Brimass deck for a redemption deck.
That would be cool. We talked about how there's a lot of really cool legendary creatures. Do you have a favorite legendary creature from this year?
Ooh, you just look real fast.
You could have built the deck. You could have not built the deck. You could have put it in something.
Hey, honestly, the one it's the Narsi Fable Singer. I've had that set aside because I loved the art on that. I thought it was just beautiful with the color.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to build it. I mean, it's not anything super wild. For those not familiar, it's a human bard. And we don't get a lot of bards. 3/3 lifelink. Whenever you sacrifice an enchantment, draw a card. And whenever the final chapter ability of a saga you control resolves, each opponent loses X life. You gain X life, where X is the saga's mana value. It seemed straightforward. And it might be kind of fun. But really, the art on that, the moment I opened it, I was like, I'm building this.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's Miranda Meeks, right? I think that does that one.
Yes. Yes, it is. So I have a pile of cards in my little organizer with Narsi. And so it's there because it's one I want to build. So that was kind of the first one that came to mind. I did a quick search on legendary creatures from 2023. And it says there are 788 of them from the year. But that also includes some of the ones that were list cards or the flip cards that were in Cute to Brute that were reprinted. I did like the Secret Lair for the Dungeons and Dragons movie. I thought they were just kind of fun, a little bit out there. They fit well with the film. The art's just silly. They did a good job representing the characters. And I remember picking those up, not just as a D&D fan, but thinking, okay, I'm going to build these at some point. I haven't gotten around to it, but they're sitting there on the shelf. They were just a lot this year.
Yeah, there were a lot. So I think my favorite is either K-9 from Doctor Who. Other legendary creatures you control get ward 1, and then you can tap it to make target legendary unblockable. I feel like that card's slept on a little bit. And then the other one that I just adored was the first Kellan the Fey-Blooded. Because this card essentially, we talked about this before. This card essentially lets you play, if you have a pet card that's an equipment or an aura, it basically allows you to play in your command zone, which I was so thrilled when I saw this card because I was like, I can put my favorite magic card, Bloodforge Battleaxe, in the command zone, basically. So, you know, I built a whole deck around that. I think that one, just because like the joy it brought me.
It's a good card, though.
It's a really good card. And, you know, I've built other things, but that one, I think just from the standpoint of I get to put my pet card in the command zone, wins for legendary creature.
What was your favorite legendary in Lord of the Rings?
Ooh. That's a good question. It's probably Smeagol, which is why I built that deck. Mm-hmm. Because I love mill. And I was like, this isn't Dimir mill. This is Golgari mill. This is mm-hmm. different. That one's probably my favorite. I also like Golem, the one that you can return from your graveyard. Mm-hmm. That one can do some shenanigans. So
that one was fun.
Yeah.
I was a fan of Eowyn Shield Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
The one that at the beginning of combat on your turn, if another human entered the battlefield under your control, create two red human knight creature tokens with trample and haste. That was the one I ended up doing a box build out of. And it was silly, but it was fun. But yeah. It opens up some of the variety with being in Jeskai for knights so that you get the blue element, since there were a lot of blue knights that hit with Wilds of Eldraine. With Lord mm-hmm. of the Rings, we had him in the March of the Machines.
Yeah.
So a lot of support.
What was your favorite deck you built this year? The commander doesn't have to be from this year, but you had to have built the deck this year.
Ooh, okay. Let me load up my Mox field.
For me, hands down, the Ziatora deck. Like, I'm obsessed with that deck. It is so much fun.
That's a good deck.
And that one was recent, too. I've built a lot of decks this year.
My goal for 2024 is to finish decks I have started this year.
Yep.
There are too many. Okay, my favorite I built this year was Stop It Like It's Hot.
Stop It Like It's Hot.
And it's Piet Nalar, Consul of Revival. Mm. So it was an Aftermath card.
Yeah.
But it's all about making Thopters, playing Thopters, and throwing Thopters at the opponent.
And it was like the best deck name.
And I also, rewrote the song. In the description, if you go to, I'm gonna take that off unlisted. It is out there in the wild on Moxfield.
If you don't follow me or Matt on Moxfield, you should. I have so many decks on there. Some of them are playable and some of them are not.
I'm going to stop doing private listing when I have an idea for a deck so that people can see I have three cards, but here's the gag.
See, okay, I have so many of those. People are probably like, she never finishes any of these mm-hmm. decks. I don't. I start something and then I'm like, okay, I don't like this idea. And I don't delete the deck. I just leave it there.
Oh, I have so many drafts that I should delete and then so many that I need to complete. I want to try and build a deck on Moxfield one a month for 2024, just so I can get better at it. And so you will not have a reason to hassle me anymore about writing my decks out by hand.
I have so many decks in progress, too. I'm really trying to get my Oathbreaker decks. They will be done by Chicago because I want to bring my baseball Oathbreaker decks so people can play them. Mm-hmm.
I want to check those out. And I need to build more Oathbreaker decks. I just have the one, my Luca one, mm-hmm. which is obscene. I need to make more. And I want to make at least two for Chicago.
Yeah, I have a mill one. I have the Amass one. And then I have one that I helped my husband build. That's Comet. Mm. And it's Comet Burn. That deck is insane. They banned Comet in a bunch of different formats.
They did?
Yeah. And I can tell why, because like if you're lucky, like you can just pretty much go quote unquote infinite on your turn. Yeah, so those are the decks I'm wanting to have done. However, okay, so I brewed this deck forever ago mm-hmm. and I really want to build it in person mm-hmm. in person in paper. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Ooh.
because I was going through bulk. I've been sorting my bulk and stuff, and mm-hmm. I had to build a Secret Santa deck. I built it for the combats, for Katie Combat, Cardboard mm-hmm. Combat, Randy. And I was going through cards, and I found the Seven Dwarfs. And so I was like, okay, I really just want to build this deck now. I haven't actually even play tested this deck. I don't know if it's any good or not, but I want to build this. So that's going to be my 2024 deck, is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I got to pick a good one because 2023 is definitely my Thopter deck, and I'll have that in paper for Chicago. And then I have the editor deck that you made me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I'll bring. And then I just got my deck from the Secret Santa from Megan at Infinitokens, and she did a fun, it's called The Power of Three, and it's Jetmir, and it makes things in threes.
Ooh, I love that.
And she even drew my infamous three bears on the deck box with the tombstones as you go around it.
Oh my gosh. I love that deck idea. That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun, and it's on her Mox field.
Meanwhile, my Secret Santa was Benji the Brewer, and he gave me a note with it that says, I'll read you this note. It's really funny. I put it up on my wall because it made me laugh. It says, Nat, I hope you enjoy this list I've compiled for you. I struggled with what to make you at first. You have a strong sense of what you like. I wasn't sure I could really match that. So he built me a Molly Alluris. So it's Orzhov life gain. Mm-hmm. And it has explore, and with Luris as the companion, every permanent has mana value 2 or less, and then once during each of my turns I can cast a permanent spell with mana value 2 or less from my graveyard. I'm excited to try this out because
That's gonna be a fun one, and Benji's decks are always great.
Yeah, I am real happy about that one, and I built a spicy one for the combats. They haven't gotten theirs yet because I had to wait for cards to issue to me.
Oh no.
But I built a deck, and then I completely shifted gears, and then when I was going through my bulk to build the deck, I changed it even more, and so it's real spicy now. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
I built one for Tomedy, and it was Min Wily Illusionist, and I called it Use Your Illusions parts 1 and 2 after the Guns N' Roses albums. And it makes illusions, but one of the things I learned going through it is so many illusion creatures are, if it's ever targeted, it vanishes. Mm-hmm. So I tried to find every illusion that didn't have that and threw it in there. Oh. And then it's all mono blue. It's got lots of spells in it. So it gives you enough to keep generating tokens. But there's, I think it's an enchantment or a creature. I'd have to dig through and find it. But it turns your opponent, it gives your opponents that illusion characteristic of, if the creatures are targeted, they get removed. And so it kind of turns the tables. But it's just silly. And going through it, so our restrictions in this were, it was a $50 deck. And during the course between building the deck and ordering it, some of the cards in the one I built tripled in value. What was it? The Titan of Litjara from Commander Masters. First off, sold out at like every LGS by me. And it went up. It's now at about $10, but it went up to 15, close to 20.
Yeah, I think as long as you're close-ish.
I went by the moment I completed it, it was good. So anything that happened after is okay. And it's for friends, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know what we talked about last time, though, along these lines? Oathbreaker White Elephant.
Oh, yes. We're going to do that for Chicago. I will post a thing on Twitter, or you can find me and message me wherever you can find me, Discord, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. If you want to participate, if you're going to Chicago and you want to participate in an Oathbreaker White Elephant, message me, let me know. We'll get it set up. The idea is that you'll have the deck built and take with you to Chicago, and that way we can exchange, and then we can play Oathbreaker. Mm-hmm. Super fun. So if you are serious and wanting to do that, let me or Matt know, and we will get that set up like ASAP.
We'll set up a couple extra parameters, figure out a price that's fair for everyone who wants to take part. Mm-hmm. Straightforward.
Oathbreaker will be a little bit easier because it is less cards. Although Planeswalkers tend to be a little bit pricier depending on what you...
Yeah, some of them have gone up this year. Mm-hmm. But there are tons of options.
There are tons of options. Next, what was your favorite piece of lore from this year? We got a lot of lore this year.
There was a whole lot. I won't lie. I'm still trying to catch up, which is rare for me. I really enjoyed... You know, my favorite piece was a short story by Shauna McGuire. It wasn't a key lore. It was one of the side stories. called Homecoming, about Liliana going back to Dominaria. And I built a deck based off of that story. And the whole story was her going back to her home and the ghost of Limdol, like, taunting and tempting her and trying to turn her back to him. Meanwhile, in the distance, there was the specter of the Phyrexians coming and Elisil Kor in the distance and this knockdown, drag out brawl in the swamps. And the deck I built had Elisil Kor as the commander, and it was designed to stay in the command zone as the existential threat that is always there on the edge of the board. And it was secretly a Liliana deck. So it was about her digging deep and struggling. So everything in it was meaningful sacrifice of life, meaningful sacrifice, trying to, in the story, she's trying to summon up Limbol's ring. Was it Limbol, the necromancer?
I don't know.
Wait one sec. Yeah, Limdol. And so I had the, what was it, the Onyx Medallion, kind of as a representation of that. So trying to dig deep to make things cost less without having to cost life. Threw in a few Phyrexian beasts because during the story, she tried to take control of the Phyrexians coming after her by trying to reach into the dead flesh on them of whatever they used to be before they were Phyrexianized. And I loved that story. It was just, there were a lot of different layers to it and a lot of questions.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you're right. There was so much this year. I haven't caught up on all of the Ixalan stories yet. And that's part of my plan for the weekend.
I think my favorite, and this is going to be, you're going to be like, this is hypocritical, but it was from March of the Machine. It was, and this is a sad moment. It's the one with Tamio.
Oh, God, yeah.
When she gets sliced up by the Wanderer. But I love this because of Nashi. Mm-hmm. Like you know, we kind of heard about Nashi before this, but like not really. Nashi really like comes to the forefront in this story and like makes me really excited to go back to Kamigawa.
Oh, God. Yeah, that whole moment. Yeah, that moment got me. Like I love Nashi and I love the kind of resolution and I love the Nashi we got after that. Mm-hmm. Kamigawa was one of those sets that really surprised me because when it came out 2022, mm-hmm. it was, I didn't experience the original Kamigawa because I wasn't playing Magic at the time. I'd been out of it and everyone was so excited for it. I'm like, I have no idea what this is going to be like, but it blew my mind. It was so much fun on so many levels. It had a great story and it was hinting at all these dark, nefarious things to come. And I think that was when my real love of Magic lore started. Mm. Also, I just looked up the story I said and doesn't count. It was from 2012. It was 2022. Sorry, 2022.
Too. I was like, whoa, 10 years ago.
Because it was from Dominaria United.
Oh.
And I was thinking of it because of the Phyrexian invasion. So going to Magic Story 2023, let's see.
I couldn't remember if it had been from Dominaria Remastered or Dominaria United because those, I feel like, came out like so close to each other.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because, yeah, Dominaria United, then we ended up time traveling back for Brothers War and then coming back after that into the invasion. So I'm going to look at what came out this year, 2023. So much Magic Story. I wish they'd just start releasing hard copies of collections of all of these. All right, 2023. Oof. I mean, I really enjoyed the entire March of the Machine story. K.R. Snot Rivera is just a phenomenal writer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have absorbed every piece written. But if I had to go like an individual story, I really enjoyed, and it's Shona Maguire, but the Assault on New Phyrexia from All Will Be One. Because it just was very visual and playing out in my head. And I remember reading that thinking this would make a great film. It was very much sort of an old war movie almost. But there was that loss and confusion, how everyone was separated and scrambling. But then it led to another moment that with that assault, and that was Jason Braska. And I remember reading that moment, and I think that kind of gutted me, that, oh, little moment of happiness, and then just nope.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was thinking about this a week ago when we were first talking about, oh, we'll do a year-end episode. If they ever did an Ixalan remastered set. Frame it as this is the memory of the false memory created by Jace at the very end before he and Braska were both succumbed together. Like these are the this is like that happy memory in your head to try and stave it off, only to realize there is no hope.
That's rough.
Sorry, bro. Got that a little dark for a second.
Yeah. Let's go to a much lighter note. we both attended a lot of events this year. What was your favorite event from the year?
Vegas was fun. Vegas was a lot going on, but it was fun. I'm still a sucker for local Command Fest. And anytime Philly is always great because everyone comes out for Philly. But I had a really fun time at Richmond this year. It was just very low key and very chill. And there wasn't anything big. There weren't huge lobby cons. We had a blast of a lobby con there, but it reminded me of what the conventions could be. Because everyone was on equal ground. Everyone was there to just play the game. I got in games with people I never thought I would, made new friends. It was just, it was just a really nice experience.
I think I'm the same way. I really like more intimate settings. I loved Command Fest Orlando. Cool Stuff Inc. can put on an event, y'all.
I keep hearing that. I need to make it down for one.
It's like smooth, organized, like just good vibes, you know. Nerd Girl helps a lot run like the creator side and the creator clashes, and those are super fun. I love playing with, you know, just people. You know, it's always great going to events and seeing my friends, but I love, you know, seeing new decks and seeing what people out there think about Magic, how they're playing Magic. You know, that's how you meet new friends. You know, I met some really cool people there, the folks from the Urcast podcast. If you haven't checked their podcast, I'll shout them out. You know, they keep saying that there's going to be like a feud between us, but no.
We're going to have a feud? Awesome.
No.
It's friendly.
We're going to be rival podcasts, but no, they're great. But as far as like major events, Vegas was a lot of fun. I worked with Magic Kids for Vegas. I love working with Magic Kids. I love teaching Magic. I love playing Oathbreaker.
They're such a great organization and filled with great people. I had the best time.
But I think for me, I feel like Minneapolis was probably like my favorite MagicCon event last year. I've never been to Minneapolis, first of all. If you are dairy free like me, Minneapolis is like your best friend. They have so many dairy free options. They also like the con food was like really good in like a surprising way. They had like, what are those? Like acai bowls. Like, you know, like they had stuff like that there. Like it was healthy stuff. You didn't have to just eat chicken tenders.
It's very Minneapolis. I have some really good non-magic friends from there who are always like, you need to come up here and visit. I'm like, this sounds like a perfect place.
Yeah.
They've got good music, good food.
Yeah. This was the first time they had introduced the creator arena, you know, having like meet and greets with creators. That was a lot of fun. I was able to attend a few panels at that one. That was really cool to listen in to those. The cosplay contest was amazing. I had so many friends competing in that one.
That was a good, I mean, all the cosplay this year was really next level.
Yeah. People brought it this year for competitions. I'm not really a competitive cosplay person. I'm more of like a, I just want to vibe and have fun cosplay person. Like if you couldn't tell by the fact that I just dress up as Commodore Guff, you know, or Saruman, like at a whim.
They're so good though and so much fun.
You know, I'll go all out for cosplays, like my Titania cosplay, but like I did spend a lot of time working on a cosplay for Dragon Shield this year. So that took away from being able to compete, but I would not take that. I mean, I loved doing that. That was awesome. But those sleeves will come out eventually. I think they come out like end of January, early February, fingers crossed.
They will. Very
they
soon.
They will. They will. If y'all didn't know, I did a cosplay for Dragon Shield for some sleeves that are coming out next year. And it's the new Constellation character. So y'all can get that. I cosplayed and all my pictures of the cosplay will be up on their website when that goes live too. So I'll let everyone know when that happens. But yeah, the cosplays this year were amazing. They even did like a grand finale cosplay thing in Vegas, which was kind of cool. They took the winners from like the overall winners, best in show winners from the past four MagicCons, and they competed against each other. But yeah, I loved that event. I'm looking forward to Chicago. I think
Chicago's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be cold. I think end of February in Chicago is not my perfect destination for a con, but I think it's going to be good.
It's not going to be different from where I live, so I don't care. But I know for other people, they will care. I like looked up the, like someone was posting like the average weather in Chicago for February was like 24 degrees or some 26, 24 degrees or something. And I looked up the one for here and it was lower than that. So I'm like, I'm not super worried about it.
And there are a lot of hotels with bridges.
Yes, yes.
I think that's the key. The only big thing is the party that's at the House of Blues. It's going to be an Uber away.
Yeah, but you get to go to the House of Blues, so that's going to nice be cool. There. Yeah, so I'm going to be doing that. I will also have a stamp, or if you weren't in Vegas, they introduced the you could find
passports.
Yes, you could find Magic ambassadors and get stamps from them. I think they've extended that this time. It's not just ambassadors, but I will have a stamp. It's going to be my signature little giraffe. So come find me.
Get your passport stamped. Get a card stamped.
I'll stamp your passport. I'll stamp your cards, whatever you want. I'd rather not stamp your cards, but if you really want me to, I will. Anytime anybody hands me like a really expensive card to sign, I'm like, oh, are you sure about that? It's so flattering, but at the same time, I'm like, I am severely decreasing the value of this card for you. but yeah, so, and then I'm not sure what time we'll have a meet and greets, but Matt and I trying to line it up so that we will be there at the same time, so you can come say hi to both of us.
Maybe we'll have a questionnaire for you just for being at Chicago.
Yeah, maybe. It depends how many people are there.
We'll see. Maybe it'll just be one question.
Yeah. We'll do like a quick one question thing. So come see us.
It'll be a lot of fun.
2024, what are you looking forward to next year? What sets? What events?
I'm looking forward to a lot of the sets. There are just, it seems like they're really expanding the sets for 2024. And let's see. I mean, we've got Thunder Junction coming up. We've got Ravnica Remastered. We've got Fallout, another Modern Horizons. There's a lot of kind of non, like, universes beyond almost. We have an Assassin's Creed. The one I'm really looking forward to, I think, I mean, Murders at Karlov, I think is going to be great. And Ravnica Remastered, if the prices go down, I think is going to be fun because I love Ravnica. It's my favorite plane that I'd love to go wandering through with a cup of coffee. But apart from those, I'm most excited for Bloomborough.
I love Bloomborough. I'm obsessed with Bloomborough. Like, who doesn't want cute little animals, like, with little swords just fighting? Like, it's so cute.
Well, it reminds me of two of my favorite comics, Mouse Guard and Mice Templar, which both came out around the same time. Completely different stories, but still very similar in scope of kind of like mice knights wandering through a world where everything is trying to kill them. Highly recommend reading both of them, to be honest. But I think Bloomborough is going to be really fun and have lots of elements that could tie in thematically to decks, especially with Eldraine.
I've never played Assassin's Creed, but I have a Ramses deck and it's an Assassin's deck. So I'm hoping I get some cool Assassins from that set. I'm obviously looking forward to Modern Horizons 3. The Modern Horizons sets are always just fire.
I always like those. I'm definitely curious to see how it is. Modern Horizons 2 was out when I got back into Magic and I was able to get like two or three packs from the one store on the island we lived on.
And then Bloomborough, of course. And then aesthetically, I'm not super looking forward to the last set that's coming out next year. It's like
Duskborn.
However, it might have some good horrors in it.
Which will be perfect for you-know-who.
You know, Umbras needs some new cards. So I think
I'm intrigued. It says it's, I'm looking at some of the notes on it. So one thing I just noticed is I'm looking at the logo for Duskmourne and it says Duskmourne House of Horror. The word House of Horror almost looks kind of like digitized out of phase, like for a horror movie. I'm wondering what they're gonna, if it's gonna have elements of sort of modern technology.
Oh, Yeah, okay.
I just noticed this going to look up because I was trying to remember Bloomborough's name. I didn't want to botch it. Apart from Duskmourn, the other one I'm curious about is Outlaws of Thunder Junction. But I don't know. I'm not excited.
So as someone who lives in Colorado, I'm just like, the Western idea is just like, bleh.
I grew up in Texas and it just kind of gets like shoved on you.
Yeah.
It's very out of the blue, but I'm curious.
They do allude to some planeswalkers. Like if you've seen the preview image, mm-hmm. there's a little bit of possibly Jace of Vraska going on. Mm-hmm. We think there's Tiny Bones there. It's supposed to be like the villains kind of, you know, they're kind of embracing like the villains mm-hmm. and the sets for next year. It feels like. Almost, you know, we're talking about like a murder and then we're like going to like the outlaws mm-hmm. and then we're going to horrors and then we just have Bloomberg, which is just like, you know, cute little animals, but it's a
tour of genres. Like if they wanted to test out different genres for Magic that are outside the traditional stories and known planes, like mm-hmm. they're hitting us with everything this next year. Mm-hmm. But one thing we didn't really touch on yet is the Fallout set, mm-hmm. which from the cards that they've shown so far, I think it's going to be fun.
I find that a lot of these sets that I don't know anything about, I end up loving the cards in the set regardless. I've tried playing a little bit of Fallout 3. Open world games just aren't mm-hmm. it for me. I need structure in my life. if I don't know where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to do, then I will turn the game off.
My last time playing a Fallout game was the first one, the RPG. And it was great. And I mean, there's also a tabletop RPG that I think Modiphius put out that's really good recently following the more updated versions.
Yeah. But
there's some cool lore and story to the world that they created for Fallout. So I think that might be another neat one, similar to how they did Doctor Who and Warhammer. I think they're getting clever with the design of these one-off decks.
Yeah. If you like open world games, Fallout 3 is free on Epic Games right now. So that's why I tried it, is because it was free. And I was like, oh, there's a Fallout set coming out, so I should, you know, play this. The beginning is great because the beginning is structured. It's like RPG. And then you get like thrown out into the world, which, I mean, it's like kind of the story. You get thrown out into the world and you don't know what you're doing. And as soon as I got thrown out into the open world, I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this.
I like the idea of open world games, but I'm the same way. After a while, I'm like, if I walk away from it, like I have a bad habit of, I'm going to get a game and I'll play it for like 3 days nonstop. And then I'll walk away for months. And if it's an open world, I come back. What was I doing?
Like I don't play Elden Ring. I don't play Zelda. I don't play like any of those games that like don't give you like very strict structure. Like I can't do it, mainly because I'm ADHD and like having too many things like just confuses me. So like when I play World of Warcraft, I do the main quest and like that's it. Like I don't explore. I don't do things. I just do the quests.
Like, tell me where to go. If I'm going the wrong way, put up a big arrow saying turn right.
It shows you which way to go. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, like Mothman. Hello, mm-hmm. That card was made for me. A Dimir Milkmander. Like, please, yes, please, give it to me.
There are some fun ones. The Nuka-Cola machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what else we'll get from that set. That comes out in February.
It comes out in
March. I think it's March, actually.
I think it's March because it coincides with the Philadelphia Star City Con.
Oh, okay.
It'll be fun. I think a bunch of us will go up for it.
Yeah. Are there any other events next year that you are thinking about going to?
I mean, Chicago I'll be at. Vegas I'll be at. I'll be at Star City in Philly for Fallout Weekend. Any drivable Command Fest or Con, I'll usually hit those because it's easy for me to pull off with work and family. I can mm-hmm. just drive. So I'm hoping Richmond is again. I'm hoping there's multiple things in Philly. I'm going to try and make it back out for Vegas again in the fall. I mean, I'd love to go to Amsterdam, but not in the cards at all. In the Magic cards or credit cards.
Yeah, I can barely make it to Chicago. I'm not going to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm.
And I do want to hit PAX U again. that I went to my first PAX this year. I loved it. I mean, I love board games. If you can't see those of us who are watching the video, that there is a shelf just full of them. But that was fun, and it had more Magic this year. It was a nice mix, and getting to do non-Magic things with Magic friends was kind of fun.
Right now, my plans are to attend Chicago and Vegas, both MagicCons. I will not be flying to Amsterdam for a variety of reasons. And I will be at the RC happening in Denver, the DreamHack Magic hosted by Laughing Dragon. That's beginning of February, I believe. Mm-hmm. And since that's local to me, I'll be at that one. I am going to Gen Con this year in 2024. I'm going to Gen Con. Like, I am determined. I want to go to Gen Con so bad.
I'm marking that down on my calendar. I've never been, and I've been told that I should go. So we're keeping each other honest on this. We're both going.
Yes. And I have a bunch of friends in Indiana, and they all go to Gen Con. And so it would be cool to, like, not just, like, hang out with my Magic friends, but also hang out with the people that, like, I play Overwatch with, like, almost every other day. I really want to go to Gen Con. And there's a possibility I will be going to KubeCon next year.
Ooh.
Which, I love playing cubes. I think there's so much fun. We're building a battle
cube now.
We're building a battle cube. And then if there's another event that invites me to come, you know, I will consider those as well. But those are the ones that I for sure want to go to. So that'll take me to some places I've never been. I've never been to Chicago. I've never been to Indiana. I've never been to, I think KubeCon's is in Wisconsin. In Madison, I've never been to Wisconsin. You know, I'm excited to try out some new places.
A lot of different states, a lot of different vibes.
Yeah. I love trying the different food and then, like, comparing, like, who has the best food. Right now, hands down, Philly has the best food, like, uncomparable.
I'm always happy going to Philly.
Followed closely by Minneapolis, just because they had so many dairy-free options.
I am still kicking myself for not going to Minneapolis.
Those two, but Philly, like, by far has the best food, like, I've ever had. Chicago might top that. I'm really into hot dogs. Hot dogs are great. And Chicago's known for, like, hot dogs. They're also known for pizza, which I will not be partaking in unless dairy-free pizza. But
I would avoid the stereotypical Chicago deep dish because it's just cheese. I think that would kill you.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but that was everything I had planned for today in this episode. I'm looking forward to what we do in 2024.
We're going to have so much fun. More episodes, more interviews, more adventures.
You know, we're going to have more dishes. We're going to give you the dish, give you the scoop.
Ooh,
see what I did there?
I do. But now I want ice cream.
Well, go eat some ice cream. You deserve it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to all our listeners out there. Thanks for sticking with us these past couple months with our start to what will hopefully be more fun in the new year. I know I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we want to see flavor profiles on your Spotify Wrapped for 2024. Like, that's our goal. We just want to show up on your Wrapped.
It is that, and to see our merchandise on your timeline when it comes out.
Ooh.
Let's just say we have some ideas for some silly, flavorful items. And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.